This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. Jeffrey.
I agree. I totally agree. And I'm trying to, you know what I'm trying to do, Fred? I'm sitting here being contemplative this Sunday morning.
Trying to coin your own thing instead of stealing
someone else's? No. I've ripped off Jim Click's little, that's exactly right. And I inserted a Fred instead of Hank. But I'm just sitting here trying to think of how to best congratulate you on your new...
On the new show? Well, if you go to friendjeff.com, you would know that. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And you can even subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio.
Bunny. Yeah, remember Bunny?
Bunny Fontana?
No, Bunny. Bunny. Remember John DeDante, our drama teacher at South Point?
Yes.
And one of the things he said is, first thing you should do when you wake up on the first day of a new month is you wake up, before you say anything else, you say Bunny.
And that was supposed to like give you fortunes.
Good luck all through the month.
I thought it was only for February.
Well, today is what, Fred?
It's February 1st.
Yes. And so when you woke up this morning, did you say bunny?
I said tequila.
Yeah, you probably went,
No, that's...
Hangover.
A Bloody Maria first thing in the morning.
Makes the world right.
Blue cheese, stuffed olives. Hey, before we go any further...
Yes?
I had a little rant. I rant every week. But I had a rant about how my Android
Super
device...
Super nice. You gotta take care of that kid.
Yeah, so... Curtis White actually called us
up. Curtis.
And told me exactly how to resolve my issue.
And did it?
Yes, it did.
And what are you going to do for Curtis?
He already has, I think, on the way. Put it in the mail.
Yeah, it's in the mail.
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail. Curtis, if you don't get it, call back because then I'll send it.
A gift card to Peter Jungle.
Nice.
Yeah. And, you know, before that, there was a girl named Rachel who we gave flowers to because she...
She knew the trivia question answer?
No. What was it? She
I don't think we asked a trivia question.
No, she just called in to say, tell us a story about how Jeff was always absent.
How I'm always absent?
From the show.
I never heard that one.
Yeah.
I think
for 2015, you're batting 1,000 right now.
Yes, I am, but the year is early.
The year is way early.
Yeah, because I'll be out during rodeo week, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Might as well tell you now.
Oh, thanks.
And we've had folks calling us up. So, folks, if you know people out there that are making Tucson a great place to live, call us. Let us know about them.
Well, you know, we don't laud our audience as much as we should because we've had a few shows that we never say, hey, so-and-so suggested this, and here they are.
This is a very good point. And I blame you for that.
Yeah, you should because I am in charge of scheduling at the moment.
That's right.
Why don't we just talk about... Our need for an intern.
We do need an intern. We need someone to help us with our social media and posting the show and in general silliness.
Yes.
So if you're interested in being an intern for the Red and Jeff Show,
Red and Jeff Show?
Did I say Red?
Yes.
I said Fred.
No, run the tape. Matt, run the tape.
Matt's new. Don't give him a hard time.
Okay.
So that's my job. Matt, don't run the tape. So if you're interested in being an intern for the Fred and Jeff Show... Give us a call on our Friend Jeff hotline.
Which is 520-428-5104.
And we will, 104, what is it, 520-428-104?
No, don't confuse people.
They're
driving down the street, they're trying to commit this to memory.
Okay, go ahead, do it again.
520-428-5404. I'm sorry, 5104. You know, I was thinking about this because I was there when you created this phone number.
Yes, it was the smartest thing I've ever.
No, we were trying to come up with like,
we were being cheap.
520.
Yeah.
Show or you know come up
520 Tucson 520 something,
and they would they wouldn't let us have anything
428-5104.
Yeah,
and we're on 104 1, so you can remember that part at the end, 104.
104, right.
Anyhow, back to my original point.
428-5104.
Yeah, so if you've got a, if you're a college kid or a kid, or you got some...
If you're underemployed and, underemployed, and have
which,
some time,
you know,
to burn.
6 million of you are out there.
Time to burn with Fred and Jeff.
Give us a holler. But anyhow, back to the original point.
We might even pay you something.
Can I get back to the original point?
Like...
gratitude.
No, roses from Mayfield's
and,
or...
$25 gift certificate to
Peter Jungle
Grill, or to Hono Chul.
Or you can play pinball,
or
at D&D Pinball,
yeah,
all you want.
Our sponsors love us so much, but we like to give that stuff to you guys.
That's right.
So just give us a reason to give it to you, and we will. And we had one of our listeners called us up and reminded us about the good folks at the Guder Foundation. So we're trying to line up Claudine Messing to come on the show to talk about all the wonderful things that they've been doing. So hopefully that'll happen.
And
the
latest
it's their 10th
one,
anniversary.
Yeah, the latest one is somebody's. Oh, I don't think you saw this.
Uh oh. Is it a picture of you?
No. We had a young lady. I'm beautiful person.
Now I'm really upset I didn't see it.
A beautiful person sent us in an email.
Yes.
About there's somebody in town who makes handcrafts cellos.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently they're world famous.
Is it like, are you, hand like, what, lemon and strawberry and orange?
Yeah, limoncellos. Fruit? Limoncellos.
Uh-huh.
No, cello, the musical instrument.
Not jello?
No, cello. And you're going to be dead soon. People are going to say, I've been listening
What's
to Jeff.
What's wrong with that guy? Well, I got to tell you.
It's the old Tito Puente joke from Stripes.
And what is that Tito Puente joke?
Nothing takes too long.
I got to tell you.
Like, this intro is just taking way too long.
Well, let me get to my point. Because
we've had about a dozen points.
Flying around here. So today's February 1st.
Yes, it is.
What comes out on the first of every month? You're right. The Tucson Happenings magazine.
I was trying to think of.
I don't have one. So what I was going to do was regale our listeners.
Why don't you have.
How I utilized the Tucson Happenings magazine yesterday to spend my Sunday. So if you'll give me a moment, I will start.
I will step away from the mic and you do your thing.
Chuckle all you want. So yesterday was Brandy Alexander Day. Did you know that? National Brandy Alexander Day?
Is that a drink?
It is. It's you combine 1.5 ounces of brandy and 1.5 ounces of cream de cocoa and 2 ounces of heavy cream. You shake vigorously, put a little ice in it, strain it, put it in a cocktail glass, and garnish with a little nutmeg, and you are on the road. So thank you, Tucson Happenings Magazine, for telling me that. So I decided to start my day off yesterday with a half a dozen of those. Then I found myself at the interpretive nature hike at 9 o'clock over at the Catalina State Park.
Dude, this is full-on fiction.
No, wait, stop. Then after that, at 10 o'clock, I was at the Cowboy and Cowgirl Open Barrel Racing Association at Old Tucson.
Yeah, so you have
then
a teleporter
from there,
device.
I went to see the Five Presidents at the Arizona Theater Company, and folks, I got to tell you, it's a quick show. There's no intermission. It's 90 minutes, and it goes like that. It is so good.
Yeah, and actually, I think it was extended today because they had one of the actors had an issue with a family member.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I mean,
it
was scheduled.
So
it was scheduled
to
end yesterday, but I think they added a couple days.
Well, then after that, stopped off, had a little quick bite to eat at Flight Grill. And then I went to the Gaslight Theater to see The Ballad of Two Gun McGraw. And then I finished up my evening with cyber bowling at the Santa Cruz Lanes. Fred, all courtesy. I was able to put that joyous Sunday together, all courtesy of the Tucson Happenings magazine. Folks, it's out there now, the February issue. Run out and get it. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
but if you
yeah.
want to make sure that you know what's going on today, you can go to TucsonHappenings.com.
Yeah.
And the David Francis over at Tucson Happenings is very smart because he only lists what's happening today and tomorrow. So if you want to know the whole month, you got to go get the magazine.
Or you have to go online every day.
Or every day, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
So something else that happens today.
Today's your last day of not working for the 4th Avenue Merchants Association.
What?
You're the new executive director for the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
You start tomorrow.
Yeah, but we weren't going to announce anything until, you know, I have a probation period.
No, that's called a waiting period.
I have to go through, you know, my alcohol checks and everything. gonna be. It's
I thought
gonna be,
they. I thought they made you pee in a cup before they hired
it's
you.
It's gonna be a rough 3 months. So, anyways, today.
Congratulations, all kidding aside.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Fourth Avenue is.
It's gonna be. Actually, it's gonna be a flipping blast because those guys are just so much fun, and it's so much fun. You know, the Downtown Tucson Partnership is a friend of the show, sponsor of the show.
Great,
and we have Caitlin Jensen who comes on every month. Actually, I think next week we're gonna have her on.
Right.
But you know the whole city.
So are you in competition with Caitlin now?
No. It's the city center. You know, it's the main gate on University Boulevard. Essentially, it's the choo-choo train route,
right.
the modern streetcar. So you have the main gate, you have Fourth Avenue, and you have Congress Street, and overall in the Mercado over on the west side. And it is such an exciting time in our community to be celebrating. In the cellar.
That's Red from the Red and Jeff Show.
And celebrating all these fun things that are going on in the heart of our community. And truly, it is the heart of our community. I mean,
right.
it's where our town was born. It's where there's so much exciting things going on right now.
Where the mariachi should be playing right now, Bonnie.
They should. Well, when Jim edits, we'll make a note.
That's not Jim.
No, I'm talking to Matt.
Oh, Matt, are you going to edit the show?
No, Jim is still.
All right,
Jim
so we're
is still
in good edits. Hands.
Yeah, so...
Guadalajara.
So when it's podcast, it'll have mariachi music for you. But anyways, today at Children's Museum Tucson is Warm Fuzzy Day, and this actually ends the month of kindness at Children's Museum Tucson. So you assemble warm fuzzies, and when the time is right, you give it away, and you do that at Children's Museum Tucson. It's also a friendship. They're also making friendship bracelets.
Oh, that's super nice. Fred, will you make me a friendship bracelet down at the Children's Museum of Tucson?
No, I will not.
That's not very nice.
I'll buy you tequila later.
All right.
So at 3 o'clock, they're making friendship bracelets. At 11:30, they're doing the warm fuzzies. And it's going to be fun, as usual, at Children's Museum Tucson. We did talk about 5 presidents. And
yes.
I think there might be a couple of opportunities to see it in Tucson. But it was scheduled to end yesterday. But again... They had a health issue with one of the or family issue with one of the actors, and I think they extended the run.
Well, and that's number 3 out of 5 plays in this season.
Oh man,
and they're batting 1,000.
I got to tell you, yeah, no, this is number 4 out of 6.
I'm saying there's no. There's only 5 shows.
No, there's 6 shows. I'm looking at the schedule.
Okay, name them.
We've already seen Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike.
Oh, yeah. I did. I missed that one.
That was the opening. Then Wait
and
Until
that
Dark.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, Wait Until Dark.
Wait Until Dark was good.
Murder for Two was
phenomenal.
Now Five Presidents.
Five Presidents.
So we have coming up Romeo and Juliet and A Weekend with Pablo Picasso.
Yep.
I think that will involve some alcohol and or debauchery, if I remember my Pablo Picasso history.
Who's Pablo Picasso?
Pablo Picasso.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, so, and actually, here's something to celebrate, Pablo, is the inaugural Tucson Craft Beer Crawl.
Nice.
Yeah, so on...
Where's that happening?
Well, it's crawling around downtown.
Nice.
Actually, we'll probably talk about it more next week.
Yeah, with Caitlin.
But it is the... it takes place Saturday, February 21st, and I think it starts at Hotel Congress, R-Bar, Thunder Canyon Brewery, Playground, Pueblo Vida, Borderlands, and the Tap and Bottle. So they're
all over the place,
moving around.
And did you go to any of the jazz shows?
Oh yeah, they're phenomenal.
Jazz?
Phenomenal.
Did you see Diane Reeves?
I did not.
Oh,
but I heard she's amazing, some kind
amazing.
Of a talent.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Has
Burt Bacharach played yet, or is he coming up?
I don't even know who that is.
No, either. Isn't that terrible? But yeah, Burt Bacharach.
Well, I'm not sure that, what, isn't it in Tucson Happenings?
Yeah, but if it's not on my route, because, you know, I have a daily route, start off with the cocktail of the day, then I head down to wherever there are cowboys and cowgirls, and then
yeah.
off to bowling.
Okay, all right.
You know, all the good stuff.
So the last thing we have before the break is Charlie's Comic Books, our friend Charlie.
Yes, sir.
Every quarter, he has a huge fundraiser for a nonprofit in town, and on February 7th, next weekend, this coming Saturday, it's Youth on Their Own. Is the beneficiary. If you go to Charlie's Comics at Craycroft and Speedway from 10 to 5.
The southwest corner.
Yeah, they have a silent auction. They're going to have some original art from local artists. Free sketching being done by local comic book artists. A raffle with over $2,000 worth of goodies.
Sweet.
And the events catered by Subway Food.
Nice.
For the food. So 10 to 5 at Charlie's Comics. Support youth on their own.
All right, Fred.
That's all I got.
All right, folks. As always, you want to know what's happening in Tucson, check out the Tucson Happenings magazine or go to TucsonHappenings.com. We got lots of fun left to go here on The Fred and Jeff Show, so stick around. I give my love to you, all my body and soul. I give my mind to you with a love that I never grow. I give my love to you, all my body and soul. I give my mind to you with a love that I never grow. You are my smiles, the last tears. You are my days.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shushon.
And we are celebrating people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
You know, Fred, a lot of people wonder...
Yes?
...why we do this show.
Well, because we're homeless most of the time.
That's not true. Not true.
And, you know, we need a place to come in to protect us from the elements.
Not
for
true.
At least an hour a
at
day.
Least an hour,
you know,
but
a week.
Not true. But then we have to listen to Ben the whole time after the show's
oh,
over.
Oh, Garcia?
Yeah.
Bueller Garcia.
BBG. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that guy. That guy.
That he's that guy. But
you
he's
know,
a
it's
good
funny.
Guy.
He,
I love Ben.
He texts us during our show.
Yes, but none of his texts make sense.
Well, because he's...
Do I have to leave the bar yet? Are you guys running late?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Ben. So anyway, you were saying.
About what? You interrupted me. Hey, so, you know, friend of the show.
Yes.
Jim Turner.
Yes.
He's a historian, and he comes in and tells us all sorts of... He regales us with tales.
Right.
From, about the old Pueblo in Southern Arizona from a historic perspective. Whereas our other Jim friend, Big Jim Griffith... regales us with false tales from Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Right.
But the last time he was here, he was talking to us about a guy who had just written a book about the song Ghost Riders in the Sky. And Jim Turner is also an editor over at Rio Nuevo Press.
Correct.
So we said, yeah, hook us up. We love talking to authors because they can talk our ear off. So he did, and we are actually lucky enough to have him sit here with us today, Michael Ward. He is the author of Ghost Riders in the Sky, The Life of Stan Jones, the Singing Ranger. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Well, we always... You start off that way. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see at the end.
Okay, I'll reserve judgment.
Please do. Please do.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself because, you know, we... You know, obviously you're a local author, and we're going to talk about the story in the book. But how did you get to here in Tucson?
What do you do for a living, Michael?
I work for the National Park Service.
No way. What do you do over there?
I get paid to wander around the desert. I do wildlife surveys and kill buffalo grass and check up on peregrine falcons and tortoises.
How many peregrine falcons do we have out there?
There's two pair that breed every year that we keep an eye on up in the high Rincons up there.
Well, those are beautiful animals.
Beautiful animals, yeah.
No, you're kidding. There's more than two pair.
Well, there are, but those are the only two that we've been monitoring. I catch them sometimes heading down to the landfill where they pick off the
rats,
the doves. No, the doves down there.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, the peregrines go after birds, and then they make a beeline right back for the Rincons. And,
easy pickings.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about paying $1.97 for gas.
And, no, hey, honey, we're going out to get some dove tonight. Oh, we going back over to that landfill? Yeah.
Yeah, breast of squab.
Nice, nice. How long have you been doing that?
I'm in my 23rd year here at Tucson. I came from Death Valley. I tell people I came here to cool off just a little bit.
Oh, no kidding.
I lived in Death Valley for about 15 years. Most of the time I worked for the old Fred Harvey Company at the Furnace Creek Ranch General Store. And the last couple of years I was in Death Valley. I worked for the Park Service, and that's how I was able to get my job.
Well, just a little side note, Fred Harvey Company, those are the guys that came in and did a lot of hospitality stuff for like Grand Canyon and all that kind of stuff. So all the national parks have these essentially contract services. Yeah, yeah. So they do the hotels and all that stuff.
That was originally all built by the Fred Harvey Company.
Right. You know,
beautiful old buildings around. The La Posada in Winslow is a great example of one that's been rehabbed, and it's fabulous.
Absolutely.
A lot of the old Harvey houses. La Fonda in Santa Fe is another one, which was originally built by Fred Harvey.
Yeah. That's what they're called, the Harvey houses?
That's exactly right. And the Harvey girls, you know, which is the old famous, Atchison, Topeka in Santa Fe, the old Judy Garland movie called The Harvey Girls. And they were famous. Will Rogers said that Fred Harvey kept the West in wives. He would recruit young women from single women from the East Coast to come out and work in the restaurants along the Santa Fe Railroad, and it's a great story. The Fred Harvey story is a great story.
That is a great story.
So is that the next story you're writing?
No, it's been written. There's a great book out called Appetite for America by Stephen Fried, a very fine journalist from Columbia University, and I think he was here at the book festival just 2 years ago. And it's a great read. It's a complete history of the Fred Harvey Company, and I can't do anything more than he's done.
Oh, that's high praise. That's cool. Yeah. So you work for the Park Service.
Yes.
And you still work for the Park Service.
Yes. It's a shame to walk away from. Also, my daughter just started her first year at U of A. So
good for her.
So thoughts of retirement have been kind of shuffled in the background.
Oh, that's okay. Good for her. Does she know what she wants to study?
She's in a pre-law program. Bless her heart. She's watching those dumb lawyer shows with her mom since she was 10 years old.
I could find that killer dad. I could get him in jail.
Yeah, but awesome. I hope it'll pay off. You know? So we'll
see.
She's
your retirement plan, right?
Well, that's what she says. I'll believe it when I see it.
That's awesome. Well, we have a lot to talk about with you and the whole second part of the show. So, folks, stick around because we have a lot more to go here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
You know, Fred, the timbre of my voice, I feel like my voice has got a lower timber today. I don't know why.
Were you eating some pine?
No, I don't think it's the pine.
Mesquite bread?
It might be the large dosage of cigars that I've been smoking lately.
Oh, you know, I got to tell you something. Lent is coming up.
Lent is coming up.
Actually, it's early. I think it's towards the end of the month. I think it's like Ash Wednesday is like the 20th or something like that.
Okay.
So anyways, that's I don't smoke cigars for Lent. That's my
that's
thing.
That's good.
No, it's not good. It's a sacrifice.
I mean, it's good that you're doing something for Lent.
No.
Not that it's good that you're not smoking cigars.
So anyways, I pack them in. So George Jensen, friend of the show and our webmaster.
Yes.
We just pack those cigars in. And then on Fat Tuesday, we have about 7 each plus, really horrible meal.
Yeah.
And that's our tradition. So I'm working my way up
you're
to those 7 cigars.
You're in training, right?
I'm in training.
7 cigars in one day.
That's plus or minus,
Oh, my Lord. So anyhow.
Mostly plus. So we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com.
Yeah. We don't invite you to smoke 7 cigars in a day.
Follow us on Twitter.
Right.
Like us on Facebook. And even subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom Entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. Now, we were having a conversation with Michael Ward, who's the author of a book called Ghost Riders in the Sky, The Life of Stan Jones, The Singing Ranger. And we were, in a way, Michael, do you sing?
I do. When I first moved to Death Valley in 1977, I discovered I had a peculiar talent for writing songs making fun of the Fred Harvey Company.
And so that's why you're not with the Fred Harvey Company.
Well,
anymore?
Yeah, I'm amazed I didn't get canned early on.
So you are a singing ranger yourself.
You might say that, but I don't take myself that seriously as a singer songwriter. It doesn't do justice to the ones that are out there that are good and professional. I'm an amateur, rank amateur.
You play the guitar?
I've played the guitar since I was a kid. And
do you ride a horse?
No.
I'm seeing the pictures right now.
Well, I'm seeing him serenading Peregrine Falcons up in the Rincons.
Making fun of the Fred Harvey Company.
Yeah.
this is a whole nother show. So let's, seriously, all kidding aside,
we maintain the kidding.
Yes, we will kid you.
Yeah. Yes.
But we really are curious about lots of things, but number one is your love of the parks.
I have loved the outdoors since I was a kid. I grew up in Southern California, and my dad took us, a little family, on a trip. I was 10 years old. We drove out his old little porthole T-Bird with a little trailer, and we drove out. And this is before I-10. We got out to Palm Springs on our way to the Colorado River. I got out of the car, and I felt like I was home. There was something about the desert that just connected with me, and ever since I've essentially loved the desert. I mean, I love the national parks,
right?
The idea of the national parks, and just want to give a quick plug for next year, 2016 centennial of the National Park Service. It's 100 cool. years since 1916.
No, that was started by Roosevelt, right?
Theodore Roosevelt was responsible, bless his heart, and it's a great American concept, and so it'll be 100 years next year, so look out, there's lots of events that'll be happening at Saguaro National Park and at all national parks around the country. But I always loved national parks, but I was a really bad Boy Scout, I wasn't...
you kept cutting yourself with a knife?
Yeah, the Couldn't fires never started, and I didn't read the right magazines.
Boy's life.
With a flashlight at night.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
No. Yeah, no, let's not. And so when I went to Death Valley, I loved Death Valley as the place. Now, I didn't go there to work for the National Park Service. I stumbled into this job as an assistant retail manager. One of the vice presidents said that I want Mike's job. He orders beer for 9 months and takes the summers off, which is essentially what I did for the Fred Harvey Company. I worked for the summers during the summers when I was with the National Park Service. But for about 13 years, I worked for Fred Harvey. And wrote a bunch of songs, and I ambition is not my forte. People have been telling me since I was about 20 years old, you should be writing. So eventually I started writing essays for history conferences that were held every other year in Death Valley. So I wrote a piece for the first one in 1988 about living in Death Valley, working for the Fred Harvey Company. I wrote another one about 5 years later.
And were they published?
They were published in the results. What are they called? The conference papers.
Okay.
They were published. Yeah, and that was great. So I kind of was kind of on the way, but like I gotta say I really didn't have any specific project to work on. And every year in Death Valley, in the second week in November, there's a Death Valley 49ers encampment, which is a historical gathering based on the 1849 gold pioneers that came through, and they had a bad map, and they got lost in Death Valley. It's a great rescue. It's a great story. But they commemorate that every year, and they have music and art and historical reenactments. But when I was there in the 80s, there was a great Western band called the Rainsmen.
The Rainsmen.
The Rainsmen. Great, great band. They're kind of like the Sons of the Pioneers. And they would play in the dirt lot, set up a little stage right next to the general store where my place of business. And they always sang Ghost Riders in the Sky. And when they would sing Ghost Riders, they said, well, when Stan Jones was a ranger here back in the 1940s, he sat on the front porch of his ranger station. He looked up at those sky and looked up at the clouds, and he swore he could see those rangers in the sky or those Ghost Riders in the sky. And they would sing the song, and that was not aware of that song. I mean, it was a huge hit in 1949 for Vaughn Monroe when it first came out. But I being a music lover growing up in L.A., my first concert I went to was The Doors when I was in the eighth grade.
What year was that?
That was 1967.
So they were at their pinnacle.
Well, that first album had not come out yet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a great place to grow up and to love music. But Western music was not on my radar screen. And in 1979 was when Johnny Cash recorded the great version of Ghost Riders that we all know is pretty much the definitive version now. But I had not heard that. I really was unaware of the song Ghost Riders of the Sky when I lived in Death Valley. I didn't have a television. I didn't listen to the radio. But this band came through, and they played Ghost Riders. And so it planted a little seed in my head. I thought to myself, that would be a great topic for a history conference in Death Valley to find out a little more about Stan and the fact that he was a ranger in Death Valley, and how he came to write the song, a little bit more about him. Well, I kept that filed away until about 2006, when I lived here in Tucson. I'd been working for Saguaro National Park, and there was a conference in Death Valley coming up in 2008. And I thought, I'm going to follow through on the Stan Jones thing. And And I started doing the research for what essentially was going to be an 18-page paper and a half-hour presentation at a history conference. And I discovered that essentially nothing had been written about this guy who wrote probably the most famous Western song on the planet, if not one of the most famous songs, period, that's known around the world. It's been sung by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, recorded by hundreds and hundreds of artists.
Oh, yeah. And
there was nothing written about this guy.
Bill Gans, who's a friend of the show as well.
He's a local country western music man.
Yeah, and I mean,
he actually he sang it on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's sort of like the signature piece for the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. And you're right. I mean, it's something. I think you get to go anywhere in the world and people know that song.
The Ronstadt Generation, their fine CD last year, Epilogue, Ghostwriters in the Sky.
Who are those guys?
Yeah. I thought you might recognize the name.
I thought you were talking about them earlier. That's why you brought the cello thing up.
No, somebody in Tucson actually makes cellos.
I love it. We got to have him on the show.
No, we are.
So anyhow, so continue, please. And we apologize for Fred being so verbose.
No worries. So I started doing the research, and I discovered that Stan died in 1963 at the age of 49. He had cancer, and he died way sooner than he should have. But his widow, Olive, was still alive and was willing to talk with me about her days with her husband, Stan, in Death Valley. She lived in the house in Tarzana. That they bought in 1957 in Gregory Peck's neighborhood. They were friends with Gregory Peck. They had met in Death Valley on a film shoot, and they moved there, and so Olive still lived there. And I went to visit her in 2006, and she still told me some wonderful stories about her and Stan. They had a remote ranger station just all by themselves out just about if you know the valley, it's about 8 miles to the west of Stovepipe Wells on your way up over to the Owens Valley along Highway 90. This wonderful Stone Ranger station built by the Civilians Conservation Corps was there. And that was their home. That was Stan had really kicked around a lot. He was born in Douglas, Arizona. He's a Southern Arizona boy. And his one of his uncles referred to him as an afterthought. He was kind of not a planned fellow.
So he was the youngest in the family.
He was the youngest in the family, and this is in 1914 he was born. And by then, his mom and dad had five kids before that, and Stan was, you know, he was about 6 years separated from his sister. And his dad essentially deserted the family at that point. So Stan never knew his father. But he grew up in Douglas, and not having a dad, he wanted kind of a firm hand to keep a little control on him. He and his buddies would round up burros that were in the winter. Mexican woodcutters from Agua Prieta, right across the border. Of course, the border was back and forth back then. There was essentially no fence. These Mexican woodcutters would come up with their burros and sell wood to Douglasites during the wintertime. In the summer, of course, you didn't need a wood fire, and so the burros would run around. So Stan and his buddies would round up these burros, and that was their horses. I mean, that was their route to cowboy land, out to the ranches east along the Geronimo Trail, east of Douglas. And that's where Stan learned about cowboying. He learned about the ghost riders from an old-timer named Cap Watts, who was a real McCoy cowboy. He was born during the Civil War and cowboyed across the Southwest and ended up in Douglas, I believe, in the 1890s. And he had been through the heart of the brutality of a lot of those happening with the Indian Wars and the Range Wars across the Southwest in the latter part of the 19th century. So this old guy knew his stuff. And so Stan befriended this guy, and he just became just entranced with this guy, the stories he told. And later on in life, Stan said most of the songs that he composed, and he published over 200 in his life besides Ghostwriters, were inspired by his days of roaming the cattle ranches east of Douglas.
That's awesome. We wanted to learn more about Stan and your book and maybe hear a couple of these stories, but we got to take a quick break. So, folks, stick around. We got lots more here with Michael on The Fred and Jeff Show.
A ghost head in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's exactly right, Fred.
And we've been having a great conversation with Michael Ward, who is the author of a little book called Ghost Riders in the Sky, The Life of Stan Jones, the Singing Ranger. And Michael himself is a ranger.
Who sings.
La 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 la.
Well, so, Michael, earlier in the show, in the last break, you mentioned that Stan learned about the Ghost Riders from this old cowboy that he ran around with.
Yeah, I always thought that was a total invention of Stan Jones was the Ghost Riders.
Yeah, what's the story behind the Ghost Riders?
Well, there's a couple of points of origin for the story that this old cowboy Cap Watts could have picked up. There was an old European legend called the Wild Hunt, where these during stormy nights, there are these wild, rampaging Viking kind of characters, you know, roaming through the skies, raping and pillaging, and then there's some really incredibly intensive artwork that you can find on the internet called the Wild Hunt, and supposedly anybody that viewed this was not long for this world. It was just this gruesome, grisly thing that happened in the skies. Cap Watts is a Germanic name. It's possible that through families in the story, that's where he got the idea for things happening in the clouds. There was another story that the legend of Stampede Mesa, which happened in Texas, apparently, where a big cattle rancher got into a fight with what they called a nester, a homesteader, you know, when people were coming out from the east to try to find land and to settle. And there were a lot of land disputes. And so apparently this guy's cattle, just the nester's cattle, got mixed up with this big rancher's cattle. And the nester couldn't talk the guy into being able to pick his cattle out of the big herd. So he came up at night, fired off a few shots, and there was a big stampede, and a couple of his cowboys and a bunch of cows went over the edge of a cliff. It was on a kind of a peninsular mesa where the cows were. And so the story is that the next day they rounded up this guy, tied him to his horse, backed him off over the cliff, to his death. And after that, cowboys would say the legend was that they could see this guy kind of riding on his horse on a moonlit, you know, cloudy night, you know, trying to track his own cattle down. And Cap Watts came across as a, you know, cowboy through Texas. So I kind of speculate in the book that is perhaps a combination of the two, of those two things, the Wild Hunt legend from Europe, and then the legend of Stampede Mesa. But somehow he had this idea in his head that he transferred to Stan, and the story is that there was a big, they were working on a windmill together, and a big storm, you know how these clouds roll in southeast Arizona.
Oh, yeah,
and Stan was a little upset and frankly terrified, and Cap supposedly calmed him a little bit and said, you know, don't worry, the Ghost Riders, there's some cowboys up there, they're going to round up these cows, and it's not going to rain, you're going to be okay. And there's various stories about how that happened. You know, we don't know specifically. Stan never said, well, this is right how it happened or which windmill it was. But it's kind of an apocryphal story in a way. But Stan said later in his life, you know, I was inspired to write the song by this old cowboy that I knew in Douglas. So that was the origin of the song.
Now, how did you track down his wife and actually get an audience with her?
It was a great honor. Actually, a friend of mine who worked at Saguaro National Park, I was completely naive about the internet and the computer. This is back 2006. I'm a Luddite at heart, and I was not interested. I was kind of using my government computer to do a little bit of stuff and research. But this friend of mine says, "I'll help you." You know, she was our IT person, and so she was right on top of it. So she looks on eBay, and there's a Stan Jones songbook that is somebody's trying to sell, and she bids on it, and she gets into a bidding war with other members of the Jones family.
Wow.
And so they start an email conversation, and she discovers through them that Olive is still alive, because she tells them, well, I have a friend here at the park, you know, who's starting to do some research on Stan Jones. And they said, well, maybe Olive would like to talk to him. So it was really just a very, very fortuitous kind of, you know, coincidence that it happened that way. And I call Olive, and she, a very private person, but she was willing to talk about the Death Valley years. And what she did was plant a lot of little hints, because at that time I had no intention of writing a full biography.
At this point, she's what, about mid-80s?
She is 96 last fall.
Wow.
And when I spoke with her, she was 86, I believe.
Yeah, so back in 2006, yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you mean she was planting little seeds?
Well, I asked her at the end of our talk. I'll get to that. But I asked her, have you ever thought about someone writing a full biography on Stan? Because there was really, as I said, nothing written about him. And she goes, oh, I don't think so. You know, she just wanted to kind of let sleeping ghostwriters lie.
Right.
And I understand now why, because Stan was a raking, rambling boy before they got married.
Boy.
He had a couple of failed marriages with kids, and he really didn't settle down until he met and married Olive in 1944.
That's so, kind of the M.O. for a lot of those guys, though. I mean,
well, for a lot of us. I mean.
Back in that time period, you got a lot of people, cowhands, are out in the range, and it's hard to maintain a family or any time of real life.
And during the Depression.
And during the Depression,
it was very, very tough.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's sort of a common story.
Yeah, and I think Stan tried extra hard because his mother was mortified that his dad had left the family in 1914. And she pretended that they were still married for a long, long time. So I'm not a psychologist, but I think that Stan maybe tried a little bit too hard to establish a regular household family without really thinking. He was acting on impulse and just made a few mistakes. But back to Olive dropping hints, because she just wanted to talk about Death Valley, which was great because at the time that's all I wanted to focus on. But she said something, well, we were in Fallon, Nevada when Stan worked for the Red Cross, and he had a drama program. I thought she said at a local high school. And if she hadn't mentioned that, I had no clue that Stan and Olive had lived in Fallon, Nevada, before they went to work for his first national park job was in Mount Rainier, Washington.
Wow.
Because there was no thread. There was no internet thread. There was nothing. So she, just a few things she said I was able to follow. And we called the my sidekick and I that were working on the book. She was doing the research for me. She called
your sidekick.
The woman I have.
No, I thought you said your psychic.
Oh, my psychic. Well, she was psychic because the book is dedicated to her. Her name is Pat Gredigan. I have to give her all the credit because, like I say, my ambition is not my forte. I was going to wait to write this book after I retired from the Park Service, and it probably never would have been written. She was retired from the Park Service, had a great career in law enforcement, and she understood the nature of being frugal in ways that I am completely unfamiliar with. So she had a little bit of money and said, if you can get extended time off from your job at Saguaro, would you be willing to write the biography of Stan? And I go, yeah, I kind of scratched my head and I guess I would. And I did. I took 4 months off 1 year, then I took 3 months. And over the course of 4 years, I took about a year off from work to write the book that I really had no intention of writing while I was still working. So Pat, bless her heart, and she also did a lot of the research and found, you know, she was kind of my bloodhound, you know.
Right.
So she went to Fallon Museum, and they had newspaper articles on there about Stan and creating a theater company there, and great stories and also
what
great life.
Difference though, here's this kid grows up, you know, a little cowboy, goes to work, writes this famous song, has some failed marriages, marries this woman, and moves to Nevada to start a theater company.
Well, it was part of the Red Cross. It was during World War II.
Okay.
And so he worked. He met Olive in Bend, Oregon, where he first worked for the Red Cross. The Red Cross they played a huge role in supporting families of soldiers that were overseas, and so they had field workers that would work out of different military camps to help families in the area. And so he started at Bend. That's where he met and married Olive in 1944. She was a school teacher there. She was from a small Mormon community in Preston, Idaho. And she ended up in Bend. And then they were transferred to Fallon. And from Fallon, it was kind of a side thing, just for morale. He started the theater company. And then he found out about the job at Mount Rainier as a ranger. And for Stan, that was the end of the world, to be a national park ranger for Stan. After all his experience with stock as a cowboy, he'd been in the Boy Scouts in Douglas. He loved being outdoors. He loved the Chiricahua Mountains. And the chance to be a Park Service ranger was huge for him.
That's awesome. So your book is called
Ghost Riders in the Sky, The Life of Stan Jones, the Singing Ranger.
And it covers his life from a very young boy in Douglas all the way to the end.
All the way to the end.
And it's available locally, isn't it?
I have a great local publisher, Rio Nuevo Press. I can't say enough about them. Jim Turner, of course, is an editor there. My editor, managing editor, Aaron Downey, was a huge help to help me put what I'm pretty proud of. We came out with a really good result and really good volume. And it should be available. I always urge people to buy locally first before you go to the big A.
mostly books,
Antigone books. I know Barnes & Noble up at Foothill Mall has been great in supporting local authors, and I've got some copies up. They should have a few autographed copies left up there at Barnes & Noble.
And you're also going to be at the Tucson Festival of Books.
Very, very honored. On Sunday, I have two slots, one at 2:30 in the U of A bookstore, and then one at 4 o'clock in the National Parks Experience tent over with the Western National Parks Association. And books will be for sale there, and I will be happy to talk about the book and autograph books for those of you that might want to pick up a copy.
Michael, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, and thank you for writing this book about Stan Jones. I mean, I'm sure anyone that picks it up is really going to enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting me talk about it. And,
oh, yeah.
Yippee-i-o.
Hey.
Hey, and anybody, the first person who calls us is 520-428-5104. We'll get you a copy of Ghost Riders in the Sky, the story of Stan Jones. Michael, thanks so much for being here.
You're very welcome.
All right, folks, get out there and make it a great week. Say hello to your neighbor, and we'll see you next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you. What this old world needs now is old-fashioned love. Ain't it guitar? Yeah. Preach it, son.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.